Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, May 19th, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
Thank you for joining us. I'm joined this evening by Mr. Evans. And we have a few names previously signed up for public comment as we transition into that. But seeking approval of the minutes for May 5th first. If there's no comments, the minutes will stand approved. So as we transition to public comment here, we have a couple names signed up previously. So I'm going to call those people on their phone numbers, which I have been provided ahead of time. And they will be allowed 5 minutes to speak on any subject that is not being voted on this evening, and then we'll transition into second public comment. And so if you're watching on YouTube at home, we'll move through those names first, and then I'll open it up to anyone who previously did not sign up ahead of time. And that number to reach us is 610-997-7963, but we'll work through the names first that we have here. And I will start with Harry Antonelli, so I'm going to give him a call here. I'm going to start over here. Been a few years since I used your phone.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
It's two strikes, Mr. Callahan.
Hello.
Good evening. This is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Yes.
This is President Adam Waldron calling. Is this
okay.
Mr. Antonelli?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, too.
We've received notice that you would like to speak on an issue in your neighborhood, is that correct?
Yeah.
Sir, if you don't mind, before that, would you please give your full name and address for the record?
Okay, Harry J. Antonelli, 1527 Siegfried Street, Bethlehem, PA.
Thank you, sir. If you please proceed with your comments.
What I want to know, is there a law on the length of a leash when you're walking a dog?
I do not know the answer to that. My initial guess would be no, but that could be a question for someone in the police department who might have an answer for that. Have you had any ability to reach out to someone in the city to ask that question?
No. Well, I did. I asked an officer, and he said he was going to look into it. What I'm concerned about is, and who would enforce that? Is the officers, do they enforce a leash law?
If it is a city ordinance, in fact, it would be enforced by the police department.
Okay. Well, if you don't have any, how do we know what to do? Because I have people that come, in particular, that they bring their dog on a long leash that comes all the way up to my house. It roams up the front of my yard all the way up to my azaleas, which are right under my window. It's about 20, 25 foot. And I don't appreciate it.
What can be done
about this? Because I know Philadelphia, I've been looking on their ordinances, and I believe it's a 6-foot leash that they, you know, hold their dog on. Because that, you know, you can't walk a dog and have him running out 20 to 25 foot and through people's yards. That's not right. Yeah, and I ain't the only one that this happened to.
I understand. You might have a little success with a polite conversation with the dog's owner and ask him.
I'm not going there. I told the officer he has a beware dog sign on it, on his fence, as far as I can, last time I was by there, and I don't want to deal with him. Because any guy that does something like that ain't worthwhile dealing with. He has no respect for nobody. Anybody that lets their dog just go anywhere they want. And how do I know? I come out and find dirt in my yard. And it's no little dog. This dog is a Great Dane.
Sure. I can understand the frustration, sir. I'll tell you what we can do here. We'll have our city clerk look into see if there's an ordinance on the books. And
I called the clerk, and they said there was no ordinance.
Okay.
That's why they told me to call, that you would call me.
Yeah, you might also be able to reach out to the police non-emergency number, and that might be a good starting point to find out what can be done. If there is no ordinance, maybe just a cordial visit from a police officer might be helpful.
Well, I tried that, and they didn't connect with them, so I have no idea, and the police officer never got back to me. Because the person, according to the police officer, the first time this happened, nobody was home. Now, this just recently happened again, and I haven't heard back from them. So I have no idea what's going on. Yeah, that's around a week ago.
Well, I would say maybe give another call, and our business administrator is here, and maybe he could relay that message to the police chief and see what can be done. But we have your name and contact information at this point, sir.
Okay, well, if you find out what can be done, will somebody get a hold of me?
I would think so, yes.
All right, because I'm going to be calling again. Now, I have another problem, too. This is... let me see, which one would that be? Is there a law for riding bicycles on the sidewalk? Like six kids that ride up and down the sidewalk.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, I got a problem there. And is it legal for these kids to ride their bikes on my private driveway and jump over my private blacktop barrier, or berm, I should say. I have a berm that goes all the way down my blacktop, and it separates my side from my neighbor's side. And I have kids jumping over that. They come down, they go up my driveway and jump over. And I had a guy hit the kids. This happened during the summer, last summer, and I went and talked to the person that the house where the kid come out of, and he says his mother wasn't there, and then I never heard nothing after that. He didn't even come down here, he didn't look, he didn't talk, to no information from him. Yesterday, he came out of the house, and these kids were running back and forth again with their bikes, and driveway, my neighbor, he's at work in the hospital, he works, and he works 12-hour shifts, and he told us to keep an eye on his house. And I told the person, I says, keep your kids off of his driveway. And then this guy blows up and calls me, he says he's a racist, and the reason why he's a racist is because I don't want the kids on the sidewalk. I didn't say nothing. This guy's something else. I didn't say nothing about a sidewalk. I says off the driveway, and this is what I get. I get this guy blowing up and telling me stuff. I can't deal with him. It's none of my business. Because that sidewalk or driveway or whatever is none of my business. Well, it is my business because my neighbor told me to look at it and watch it and watch his place. And then to top it off, then he comes down and he goes over my, and they do it for spite. They came back the next day and did it again. All day long they'll pull this. And nobody keeps, you can hear my wife in the background. She'll talk to you. If you want her on the phone, she'd be glad to talk to you. And nobody's taking care of these kids. And she should know. She worked down at Juvie. She was a cleaning person. And then she told him that, you know, how would you like to call the Juvie? Because she figured maybe she could scare them so they would stop this. Because I don't need it. And I'd like to know if there's an ordinance on that, going up the driveway. And that's my complaint.
Can I get some input on this?
No, thank you. Mr. Antonelli, I would say that this is probably in that same department as the leash length. I would imagine that those two conversations are very similar and there's a lot of overlap there. So that phone call to the police non-emergency number, both of these issues would be most germane for them. Here at City Council, there's very little that we can do as a legislative body in our part-time role to try to correct these individual problems. And I think if you reach out to the police department's non-emergency number, you'll have the most success starting a conversation and maybe having an officer come out and have a talk with you or talk with your neighbor.
I had the officer come out with the dog. I have a written...
I understand, sir. We and
video of the dog.
Okay. And I would pass that along to the police department. They're the ones who are going to be able to take action. Us at City Council, unfortunately, there's very little that we can do to help you, but we can point you in that right direction of reaching out to the police department, as they are the ones who enforce the city ordinances.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time this evening, sir. Good luck.
Yep.
Yeah, you got Night of the Arts Attractions, Archer Tola from Night of the Arts Attractions. Call me back. I'm on the phone right now. Can't talk right now. Hold on a while.
Start recording it.
I'm trying to get in touch with Mr. Caratola here, as he has called six times since we've been on the line. So, here we go.
The incoming number was 610-867-0256.
Here we go. Mr. Caratola.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, much better. How are you?
Okay. What can you get me on?
You're on now, sir, if you don't mind stating your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, Arthur Curatola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Go ahead.
The last meeting, I forgot to say a very, very important thing. In view of being Public Service Recognition Week, as it was last time, at the last meeting, I should say last week, the last meeting, I'd like to thank all of you who serve our country, City Council, and every of all the elected officials. After November election, if I get elected for mayor of our city, it'll be an honor to serve with you all. But right now, though, let us be an example to show everybody and that's in doubt that elected officials do truly earn their money. For right now, let us be an example to all people in other cities in the U.S. that our city of Bethlehem was named after the city that Christ was born, that we do what we need to do to get this country back on track. Calling our city the Christmas City, we need to follow what Christ said in the good book. We must be an example. Some say, if government leaders are truly concerned about the health and safety of the people, why didn't they make it that people could pick up all the products that they need for this germ warfare? Why were the shelves empty from these products in all the grocery stores and pharmacies too? Couldn't get any of this. Every factory in every country who produce sanitation products should be in full production 24/7. I truly can't believe that not one country in our entire world kept up with the supply and the demand of the people for sanitizing products. Let's make this happen for our city and see that the people have what they need. I can't believe that not one country had rations aside to give to people who are too sick or too old to work, let alone our country. I do believe that if the plan was to kill off the people who are not productive and spread fear and control over the lower middle class people, that plan worked and is working. But if our world leaders are so concerned about the well-being of the people, they would follow all the measures that are I stated in the last Cinco de Mayo meeting of Bethel. People need to practice social distancing and wear masks and gloves whenever out in public or at work. But if they dispose of them on the grounds of the public, they should be heavily fined or locked up as a terroristic attempt to overthrow our government and cause harm to the people. Pets should not be permitted to roam the streets, for the virus can easily attach to the paws, bringing the virus into the house. Owners guilty of letting this happen should be heavily fined. People need to be responsible for strengthening their immune systems and not do anything that will lower it. No government, let alone ours, should condone this action. All fast food places and liquor establishments need to be closed until this virus is completely under control. Prohibition wasn't needed back in the 20s and the 30s, but it's definitely needed now and then some. Fried food, junk food should not be permitted to be sold or given to anyone. If people want to choose to mess up their immune system, they have the right to do it. But we don't need to help them, especially to deliver to their doorsteps. We need to quarantine the sick, not the young and the healthy. The young and the healthy need to go back to work so we don't get any deeper into a depression. Boost the immune systems of the sick and the elderly by giving them nutritional supplements and do our best to weed them off drugs, junk food, alcohol, and non-motivated lifestyles, leaving their bodies without exercise and not do everything that we can to help them boost their immune systems will leave the sick and the elderly vulnerable to all diseases and viruses. Freedom of religion, that First Amendment right to practice and worship God in the church of the ones that we choose, it's taken away from the people by the governors of all states. They could have easily made it that the spots in the pews for people to sit had to be marked every 6 feet. The ushers could have escorted the people as they came in to fill up the spaces from the front, having them 6 feet from each other. Then again,
6 feet social distancing in orderly fashion upon leaving. Instead, they closed the churches, classifying them as non-essential businesses, but they leave the junk food stores open. Yes, through the virus. Thank you, Wuhan, China. Now we all have to be extremely cautious and practice social distancing and lay low. But we need to keep our city's economy up. We don't need to add to the shutdown of our country. It will only push up the stress factors of the people, which will lower their immune system, which will heighten the chances to catch the coronavirus, which will place our country in a low state of health and give a higher amount of ammo to those who want to bring down our president. I'm getting dizzy and my stomach's getting queasy. This is one crazy roller coaster ride. When I'm on a roller coaster, I'd like to have fun and enjoy myself. Please, let's do everything that we can to get our country back on track. God bless you all. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola.
Hello.
Hello, Ms. Toulouse. This is Adam Waldron calling from Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, Adam. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine, and all of council can hear you, and your comments are being broadcast on YouTube. So if you'd like to, please give your name and address and your remarks.
Okay, thank you. My name is Mary Toulouse. I live at 1528 West Market Street. I am speaking tonight as a resident, president of the Mount Mary at Mount Airy Neighborhood Association, and the co-manager of the Bethlehem Rose Garden Farmers Market. And I'm calling tonight to speak to your vote on the permit for the Rose Garden Farmers Market. And I know many of the council members have been to the market in past years. As a neighborhood association and sponsor of the market, MANA has worked to connect families and residents by providing a community venue for folks to get together while they shop for fresh local produced food. But this is the year of the coronavirus, and our focus is still on providing healthy local food, but also on maintaining healthy social distance practices to keep our patrons, vendors, and volunteers safe. So we hope that people will be encouraged to come to the market this year. My understanding is that most of you are in favor of voting for the market. Most of the council knows about it, the mayor. So I take your time tonight to note publicly some of the important issues that have risen as we put the market together this year. Some of them are concerns, some of them have been challenges, some are accomplishments and things that we would like to do better, perhaps with the help of the city. To begin with a challenge, that being COVID-19, our volunteers were able to put together a set of rules to ensure safe shopping guidelines, and that is thanks to a series of forums for market managers. This was run by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture and the Lehigh Valley Buy Fresh, Buy Local. So that is a shout out to those organizations and the help that they gave us there. One of our accomplishments, the big industrial meatpacking plants are in a mess. We've seen that on TV, in the news. Working conditions are atrocious. Employees are sick, and there's a meat shortage. And in Bethlehem, even in Bethlehem on the local level, we're starting to see our grocery stores are limiting how much you can buy of meat and what kinds. But by sponsoring the Rose Garden Market and Farmers Market, and with your vote this evening, Bethlehem will be providing range-free chicken that is raised and butchered by the owner, who in his day job is also a nurse in charge of an ER in a local hospital and an expert in health protocols. Our beef and pork is raised organically on a local farm and butchered in Quakertown. So That, I think, is one of the advantages of having a local farmers market in Bethlehem. Also, one of our successes is that we were able to put together a roster of approximately 12 vendors of essential products, no crafters this year, from our market. But this is also a success which is coupled with a worry. Every morning I read Dan Barber's food blog, and for those of you who aren't familiar with Dan Barber, he is a farm-to-table chef and author working for the Rockefeller-funded Center for Food and Agriculture. Barber reported this morning about a recent survey that said that 30 to 40% of our small independent farmers will go bankrupt this year. And I know Bethlehem is an urban space. We don't have much farmland, if we have any, but it's so very important to continue supporting our local farmers, true farmers markets. And indeed, relating this problem to the Rose Garden Market this year, some of the farmers that we contacted this year to be vendors either had stopped farming completely or were on the brink of stopping. So it is a local problem as well as a national problem. We've had a partial success. This morning I had a call from an egg farmer. Quite upsetting. He and his neighbor have eggs. We've actually had a couple of calls like this over the last couple of months. He and his neighbor have the eggs they'd like to sell at the market, like the Rose Garden, or they'll be forced to kill their chickens, which in the long term, I mean, that's a horrible thing, but in the long term means that we'll have a shortage of eggs later on. We've also had some inquiries from local restaurants, and we hope to be able to accommodate some of these problems, but these are signs of a disruption in the food supply chain. And your farmers market in Bethlehem, you have two of them, are helping to pick up the slack on some of this disruption by hoping to be able to bring these people to the market. Sometimes I get the feeling that the city doesn't consider farmers markets an essential partner in the supply chain of food, but it is. Another success, hopefully, and one where we would need your support, is we would love to have the city showcase its farmers markets. You have two of them. Both of them are run by nonprofits. Bring more people to get local products. Your support doesn't require necessarily a lot of money. Sometimes it just helps with the little things. Put us on your webpage, front and center. Bethlehem has two farmers markets. We could also use a helping hand once in a while. For example, this year we have to enclose the farmers market in the Rose Garden with yellow tape, at least for a while. This is for crowd control purposes and social distancing. And we're asking the city to use 5 or 6 of the police, the parade barricades that you've put up. We would need those to mark off our entrance and our exit to the market. To do this, the city workers have to drop off the barricades and then pick them up, and we would be charged $109 a week. And if we have to do this for 10 weeks, that would be over $1,000, money that we really don't have. We're hoping that we could perhaps get a waiver on this, and maybe the city workers could drop off the barricades when they cut the grass, so that it's not really extra money that would be spent on this. So, and then my last point is a success, but it's a success that needs to look to the future. It needs some planning, because really this whole food question is really a complex question. You have the unemployment rate in Bethlehem, which is huge, as it is elsewhere. The food pantries are looking for food. Is there a shortage? With climate change, my farmers say, oh, we had hail last week, we had frost the week before, we had a hot spell 2 weeks before, the buds came out and the buds fell off. Some of the farmers are concerned about having enough affordable food for our community. At your last council meeting, some council members spoke about having community gardens. there are movements like the Unity Gardening group and the Kitchen Gardens that are opening up community gardens in parks, in city parks, to help with the situation. City parks, in a sense, are being used as community spaces, not just for recreation. There is a community garden opening in the Battery Park in New York City in front of the Statue of Liberty. Even if you're tired, you're poodler. There's a kitchen garden opening in Paris in the Tuileries Garden, right in front of the Louvre, for people to be gardening and providing food for the unemployed. But successful community gardens take planning. That means long-term. There needs to be an educational component. People need to relearn how to grow food. Somebody needs to teach them. Somebody needs to plan for this. And in the long term, perhaps this could be part, I hope that this could be part of one of your action groups, perhaps maybe part of the Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Committee, I don't know. But in the short term, given the pandemic, perhaps the city could start now with designating some potential garden space in the parks. Send out some RFPs to community groups to get them to help starting to get some plantings, and maybe the city could provide some training or get something through the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. In any event, thank you for your attention, and thank you, I hope, thank you for what I hope will be a positive vote for the permit for the Rose Garden. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we'll open up public comment to anyone who hadn't previously signed up. That'll be for any ordinance or resolution that's on the agenda, as well as any subject not being voted on. So if there's anyone who didn't sign up and like to speak and make comment to Bethlehem City Council, that number is 610-997-7963. This will be your last opportunity to make comment to Bethlehem City Council. That number is 610-997-7963. We will continue with our agenda this evening. Is there any old business for members of council? Moving to communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with CMR Construction for work related to the 2020 catch basin removal and replacement project. The term of the contract is 60 days. The cost is $92,245, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for work related to underground storage tank replacement at the municipal garage. The term of the contract is 180 days. The cost is $294,725, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A letter from Norris McLaughlin, PA, a law firm representing Wilbur Restaurant, LLC, requesting approval for an intermunicipal liquor license transfer of retail restaurant liquor license number R18906 from Sagra Bistro, LLC, formerly licensed at 620 Main Street, Hellertown, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, as transferor, to Wilbur Restaurant, LLC, as transferee for a new licensed premises located at 202 Wyandotte Street, Bethlehem, PA.
I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer on Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020 at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A motion by Dr. Van Wert. We'll give a second to Mr. Colon. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Public hearing has been scheduled for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020 at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Due to the COVID-19 emergency, public access to Town Hall may be restricted on that date. The meeting will be live streamed on YouTube on the City of Bethlehem Council YouTube channel. Instructions for making public comments by phone will be posted on the city website and distributed to the public prior to the meeting. Those instructions will be very similar to what we have previously done for public comment, where folks are able to sign up ahead of time or dial in if they see fit to make comment to council. Moving on, communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Borden Lawson for work related to the wastewater treatment plant influent pump room upgrades. The term of the contract is 18 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $147,400 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum and proposed resolution from Councilwoman Grace Cramsey Smith in support of Pennsylvania General Assembly House Bill 432, amending the Workers' Compensation Act by providing for compensation for post-traumatic stress injury for first responders. Currently, employees of the City of Bethlehem are covered under the Pennsylvania Workmen's Compensation Act for post-traumatic stress injury, with the exception of firefighters, police, and EMS workers. However, these critical city employees are frequently subjected to traumatic and stressful situations and are at high risk of suffering from PTSI and are at the front lines of fighting against COVID-19.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Moving to reports, I have no reports this evening. Mr. Evans?
Thank you, President Waldron. I represent Mayor Don Chez this evening. He's unable to be with us. I have three administrative orders as well as a number of updates for Council. Administrative order number 13, I hereby reappoint Denny Thurmanire, 135 East Market Street, Bethlehem, PA 18018. To the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission. The appointment is effective through April 2023.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 14, I hereby reappoint Clinton B. Walker, 123 East Church Street, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission. The appointment is effective through April 2023.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 15, I hereby reappoint A. Craig Evans, no relation, 464 Montclair Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 18015, to the Historic Conservation Commission, South Bethlehem and Mount Airy. This appointment is effective through April 2023.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Anything else, Mr. Evans?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Waldron. I do have a couple of announcements and updates for the council this evening. Number one, this morning the mayor issued a press release regarding summer programming. Most of you, or if not all of you, may have seen that by this time. We have been in touch with our neighboring cities with the idea we want to be as consistent as possible with summer recreational decisions. The decisions include, of course, closing the pools. Construction Memorial Pool was on schedule. Construction was shut down. When construction restarted, so did the construction at Memorial Pool. So they are operating 100% again, and the pool will be ready for next season, but at this time none of the pools will be opened. The parks programming, music in the parks series, movies in the parks, as well as the Sand Island tennis courts, which requires substantial setup, are closed or canceled for the season. The following are closed until further notice and will be reevaluated when we move into the yellow phase. That is Escape Plaza, the dog park, basketball courts, pavilion rentals, as well as rentals for the Charlie Brown Ice House and Illick's Mill. What is open or remain open are the neighborhood parks themselves, although residents are encouraged to stay off the playground equipment. Tennis courts remain open at Clearview, Monocacy, and Westside. We ask that users use the posted guidelines as well as the trails, again with the recommendation of proper social distancing. And number two, we are developing a business plan for both the north side and south side with outdoor dining. Easton has shared a tentative plan for when restrictions ease, and some of the cities around the country with fewer restrictions are already piloting such programs. We're all certain to understand how important small businesses to Bethlehem. We want to supply all of the support we can. Alicia Carner and her team are actively reaching out to merchants to identify their needs and requests so we can implement them when the time is right. The mayor did send an email to council yesterday with information from the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture that outdoor eating areas, including picnic tables and open areas, are not allowed under the red or the yellow phases, as they consider it dine-in service, even though it's outside, due to the concern for gathering. So we will work as we can to develop plans moving forward. Three, the administration certainly supports both council resolution as well as the chamber's ongoing efforts to encourage customers not to use third parties when ordering takeout service from our merchants. Number four, we are now taking steps to safely reopen City Hall. Yesterday, our Emergency Management Director Bob Novotnik, as well as our Human Resource Director Michelle Sahaki, led training on enhanced clean procedures, which will take place and have been taking place, but will continue at City Hall as well as our other facilities. And we also start to unroll the policies for movement within City Hall once we do open up. I will note the new security system will be active. The new front counter will be established with new rules and guidelines. The date has not been set for the reopening. The mayor, number five, the mayor would like public meetings to begin again in June. Our IT staff has worked with Director of Zoning so we can to make sure we have the capabilities needed to make those virtual meetings work. As we know, we've all been to Zoning Hearing Board and Planning Commission meetings in past, and they have a little bit different needs and requirements than what City Council does. So we are looking to make those modifications so that can be ready when Zoning Hearing Board meetings start. And number six, an update on the Yard Waste Center. It opened when we announced that last meeting. It has been running successfully for a couple weeks now. We will add that soon mulch pickup and loading will be added to the services at the center. Plans are being finalized as well for the reopening of the recycling center. No date set for the reopening yet. It does require a little more logistics with lack of running water, and as well as some social distancing issues with some of the collections, cardboard amongst that. So we're still working through that and waiting for the right moment. Number seven, the golf course was opened on May 1st as per the governor's direction and has been very busy. They are fully equipped and supplied to operate and are following all requirements from the state. In order to run safely and efficiently, the check-in area has been moved to the shed down in front of the cart barn. They do operate from behind a window and are cashless at both the 18-hole and the 9-hole and driving range. As far as projects at the course, the lot has been repaired and paved in areas needed, and the large bunker project is now complete. The final large projects will be the cart paths and the moving of the pro shop down to the area where the shed sits now, and we hope to get those projects out to bid sometime early summer with the goal of taking on those projects, both of them, in the fall when play slows. Number eight, update the Bethlehemire Public Library. We have had several discussions with the library director, Mr. Josh Burke, and he's preparing a plan that includes guidelines from several sources, CDC, libraries across the state, they're all, from counties that are already in yellow, as well as the Department of Education. No date is set for opening. They are following the plan. When the governor moves to yellow, they'll be able to offer a number, but not all services, but they will be able to start circulation now. But those items amongst that plexiglass and other circulation issues as far as population and users are being worked out. Number nine, the Bethlehem Parking Authority, they struggle as many companies and organizations with the lack of economic activity, and the result is a lot less parking, a lot less revenue for the parking authority, both in the meters, in the lots, and the garages. Adding insult to injury, you may have seen this announcement, which was a press release today, that Mobile Now ceased operations yesterday. The interim director, Mr. Steve Furnstrom, was actually contacted directly by a very emotional owner that delivered that announcement to him. The information, once it was collected, was immediately posted on the BPA website, and the link to Mobile Now is included for customer support going forward. A press release was also issued and picked up by the newspapers. At this time, the efforts are being taken to remove 1,300 stickers across all the meters, as well as 50 signs throughout the city at the different facilities. The authority is also coordinating with Allentown and Easton, both used Mobile Now, to bring on a new company that will be able to provide service to the three cities. They are so far reporting positive movement. The group is giving the group approach is giving them leverage in the pricing, as well as ability to provide continuity across the three cities of the Lehigh Valley, and they hope to have that transition to the new carrier completed soon. And number 10, and lastly, as we hover in the red phase with hopes of entering the yellow soon, it is sometimes difficult on how to interpret the governor's directives under the phases. We do know that people are struggling to make things work, and there have been a few complaints received about businesses being open. There have been warnings issued. The warnings are per policy from both district attorneys at this time. After a number of warnings are issued, we will then follow up with the district attorneys on how to proceed. We want to give spacing, but at the same time uphold the governor's directions. And with that, that ends the update from the mayor's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Obviously, there's a lot to digest there, as the city encompasses many things and affects just about every aspect of life throughout the city. I think one of the biggest blows was the closure of the pools, and I guess that was the last semblance of normalcy that people were holding on for summer to continue in some respect, but that understandably is not going to happen. I'll turn to other members of council to see if they have any comments or questions on that. Mr. Reynolds?
I just had a couple of questions. One is, they're all for Mr. Evans. He had said that we were taking a look at kind of establishing some kind of local rules or regulations or ideas, and I know he had said that was being worked on with the mayor, Ms. Carner. Do we have an idea of when we're planning on releasing those I guess we would say tentative plans, because we don't know what we're going to be allowed to do, but do we have a sense if when we might, as a city, be able to make those public?
There's no sense yet. That they're still in collecting the list of requests. There's a number of different ideas, from closing streets to increasing the size of those parklets that we've used in the past with some level of success. And once we're able to get a sense from both the north side and south side, our goal, of course, is to remove or reduce the barriers that sometimes slow those that progress down with the idea of permits, but we do need to include to make sure the fire is included, as well as engineering and safety, and that insurance is in place. So it is a race to put the plan out there, but we want to be deliberate. The fact that some counties are yellow, we hope to get a little bit of a, I guess a pilot program. We could, and it was a little bit of a punch that when the Department of Agriculture came back with that ruling, that even outside the idea of closing and really opening Main Street for maybe a night or certain nights to provide that social distancing and let it almost like a curbside drop and go, which we felt would be perceived to be a takeout, that their interpretation is no, that's dining because it draws the gatherings and therefore it is not allowed. Put some pause to it. But I guess the goal would be to next time we're talking, if not before that, that we talk to council, we have something more formalized that we can talk about. But it's certainly a moving target on what's allowed, what can be done. You know, we thought that particular plan I just spoke of could even be put together under their phase red, and when the states is not in red or yellow, but wait until green, it causes that pause. But the plan is moving forward. Alicia has her team working on it. There are a number of, as I've gone over, initiatives, and this is certainly a big one, in play, as well as delivering other types of support with some of the funding opportunities are starting to come in and be made available to the city in terms of federal support through grants. So we're trying to balance that and move forward multiple plans at the same time.
I think that it's important that as soon as we're able to kind of get those ideas out there, that we do, even if we say that they are tentative or we're not sure what's going to happen, because I think that there's one thing we've seen is that, you know, the state moves through these phases at not necessarily in any type of like consistent manner. So I think that there's certainly, and everything you said absolutely makes sense, that we need to check with, you know, everything having to do with public safety and engineering and traffic and everything. But I do think that if we could get our own local kind of ideas, rules, regulations out there before we switch any phases, it'll make it easier on businesses, it'll make it easier on the city, rather than, you know, us waiting for the phases to switch and then at that point, you know, say, and release our particular rules or regulations there. I also think that since the city is going to have to do some of the local enforcement, you know, we should at least internally be thinking about what are the types of things that, you know, we're going to be able to give flexibility on. We've certainly seen other elected officials, I think you just mentioned the district attorneys, as far as their opinion about businesses being closed and things like that. So I think that this is an opportunity for us to really kind of test our flexibility here on what we can allow safely, obviously, so the businesses and the people of Bethlehem know that we are ready to go. The other thing is we've also seen that not everything goes through in these phases. I mean, today he had Wolf released the directive having to do with real estate, which wasn't necessarily connected to any switch in phase for anybody. I think last week, the week before, he did so with dentists as well. So I think that we need to obviously be ready for those type of things to switch, even if the phases don't necessarily switch. And then the last thing I guess I would say about this is I would also encourage us to take a look at, you know, and I obviously understand why we would look at our, you know, kind of downtown business districts on the north side and the south side. But I think a lot of businesses are going to be looking for what can they do with their restaurant or what can they do with their place of business that aren't in those areas. So I do just want to, I do hope that, you know, when we do come up with some of those ideas that we're including them citywide, just to make sure we include everybody as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I sent a memo last week to the governor, and I tried to outline some of the things that a couple of the restaurant owners and business owners on Main Street had talked to me about. You know, my main concern is that there's some of the most successful businesses that we've seen in the downtown historic area and on the south side. I spoke to several of the owners, and They're basically telling me that they are at, you know, life's end on their businesses. They're really struggling, and they're not sure they're going to make it much longer if this continues. Everybody wants it, you know, a safety. We want to do what's right in a safe manner to make sure that this virus is, you know, is dealt with properly. But also, you know, I think if you're looking at some of the issues that are involved with this, I think, you know, in the last paragraph of the letter to the governor, I mentioned that, you know, the Home Depots, the Targets of the world are open, and we're already allowing the restaurants to have curbside takeout. And I think there is a way, if I spoke to the mayor, I sent the letter to the governor early last week, and I spoke to the mayor late last week about possibly coming up with some ideas about opening up the roads or closing up the roads to only one-way traffic, allowing more tables and in areas and more spatial awareness for these restaurants and also the retail stores to have more areas for people to sit down. And I think there's a way we can do it. I mean, if you look at the facts now, the restaurants are coming out to the curbside with the to-go, you know, containers of the food, and they're allowed to sell a drink now. And I think there's a way that if they're using paper napkins and plastic spoons and forks that are not going to be reused again, and they're all sitting at a table, I think there's a way that we could possibly do it in a safe manner, that the only people that are allowed at the same table are family members that live under the same roof. Otherwise, they have to be at another table, which has to be a minimum 6 to 8 feet away. And I think that's a way that, I mean, they're trying, they all realize that this virus might come back in the fall. And I think what they're trying to do is, you know, is get things going a little bit with the warm weather and people outside, you know, eating, get their sales up a little bit so they can try to survive this for if it does come back in the fall and there's another peak or spike, you know, they might be able to survive that. And as Mr. Reynolds said, I encourage the mayor and Mr. Evans and Alicia Carner, and, you know, to talk to the business owners downtown and let's come up with a plan, because these businesses are really, really struggling, and I think there's a way we could probably do it in a safe manner. I mean, as far as the bathrooms are concerned, the Home Depots have their bathrooms open, so do the Lowe's, so do the Targets of the world, and people are going into restaurants there. I mean, in the restrooms there, and they have employees that are washing down, you know, the stalls and the handles and the doorknobs and things like that. And if they can do it, I'm sure restaurants can do it. So I would encourage everybody to, you know, if we could, you know, come up with some type of plan from the administration on how we can move forward, I would fully support it. So. The other thing was on Mr. Evans, on the waste center. What time? What are the hours now for the compost site?
I'd have to go back and check the website. I know it was Monday through Saturday, but I don't know the hours. But they were posted, to updated on the website when the changes were made from closed to opening.
I wanted to congratulate Mr. Kouchner and his staff over at the golf course. I've been over there 3 times in the last week and a half, and I can tell you it's in great shape. I've never seen it that way, and everybody's raving about it. The traps look great, the fairways, all the trees that were cut down and trimmed up, you know, getting rid of all the dead trees. I mean, there was a lot of work in there, and it's definitely showing. And I really can't wait to the fall, you know, to see what it looks like with the cart pass and the, you know, the remaining, you know, parts of the project that need to be done. So I didn't want to let the meeting go by without thanking him and his staff for all the work they've done. And, you know, and I've told them that when I've been over there in the last week and a half. So that's it. Thank you.
I'll pass it on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Are there any other questions or comments for Mr. Evans, for members of council?
Nope.
Moving on with our agenda, we have no ordinances up for vote this evening. On to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Mount Airy Neighborhood Association for the West Side Farmers Market. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. DeGrone and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Ms. DeGrone?
Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I just want to make a note. I don't know how many of you remember in 2011 when Art Squares opened their art center in the South Side, Steelstack. They, that year, 2011, they had a farmer's market. I remember because I was working there. So it was over the parking lot. So it was over blacktop that at that point it was very hot, brand new blacktop. And yet they, it took a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of staff working, putting all that together. It was a beautiful, farmer's market, but it was really hard. It took a lot of money, a lot of time from all from security to set up, you name it. Like I said, I was working there, so I was part of it. The following year, it wasn't as much. It was hard to bring farmers back. It was very challenging to get people there for many different reasons. So they stopped doing it, and you know, I don't blame them for it, but I'm making this point because they are an organization that are very well and stable and have done great parties and gathering and festivals, yet they couldn't put through the farmer's market. And I give a lot of credit to Mana and Mr. Luz and the group that has been organizing this for a few years voluntarily. They don't get paid. Nobody gets paid to do this over there, and they're doing a great job. I've been many times every year to the market, and it has been a beautiful experience. Everybody's been sharing as a community. So it's really a shame to hear members of the group feeling so frustrated with the lack of support from the administration. The administration should be like bowing to this group in appreciation for what they're doing for free. It's an asset to our city, to the entire city. And nobody's getting paid to do this in terms of the organization of this event. So I really hope that the city, you know, hearing that in order to put a couple of obstacles down, that they're gonna have to pay $100 and something, it's gonna cost thousands of dollars at the end of the summer for them, when we should be taking care of it. Because again, it's a group of volunteers organizing something that is massive, that it takes a lot of time, that there's a good reason why ArtQuest doesn't do it anymore. I think that now more than ever, she mentioned the food store shortage, and I mentioned that last city council meeting. I'm really concerned, and I think that now more than ever, the administration should really work for that farmer's market and any other farmer's market, any other group that decides. She talks about community gardens. I don't really understand. It's like we're working backwards. So I really hope the administration take this, the farmer's markets, whether it's this one or many others. I know we have some sort of farmer's market in the South Side and in other places, but you know, this is a group that gets together voluntarily, organize a great, great farmers market. And I really hope the administration takes a look at what they're doing in a different way, as a service and as something that they should be supported. They should be put it in the website, they should be put it in the newsletter. I mean, it's a big asset. And not just Mana, not just the West Side, but the South Side, and any other group that decides to do any community garden or farmer's market, now more than ever, I really hope the administrations change the attitude and the way that this is being done. It should be seen as they are helping the administration do something that the city should be doing. And instead of being charged for this permit and that insurance and that police officer and the other, I really don't get it. So I really hope the administration takes a closer look at what this group and others are doing and facilitate what they're doing and take a look. And I'm glad, I'm definitely going to support this, and I'm glad they're going to be able to have the farmer's market this year. I'm looking forward to being in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Negron. Any other comments from members of council? Seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of fire department public records as stated in attachment A to the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute use permit agreements and other necessary documents with the following youth athletic associations: Lehigh Little League, North Bethlehem Little League, Northwest Youth Athletic Little League. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with CMR Construction for catch basin removal and replacement. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with B&F Petroleum Installation, Inc. for underground storage tank replacement at the Municipal Garage. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Borden Lawson for wastewater treatment plant west influent pump room upgrades. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that Bethlehem City Council stands with the city's first responders by supporting Pennsylvania House Bill 432 and subsequent amendments. Be it further resolved that the Bethlehem City Council expresses gratitude to our state representative Gene McNeil for having become a co-sponsor of House Bill 432. Be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be forwarded to State Senator Lisa Boscola and Representatives Gene McNeil and Steve Samuelson. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
I'd just like to read some memos of support for the resolution. The first is from Mark DeLuzio, police chief. He He says, I endorse your resolution to support House Bill 432 totally. This House bill is long overdue. Police and first responder suicide rates are way above the national average. We lose more police officers to suicide and mental health issues than we do for line of duty deaths every year. We expect our first responders to perform the best possible service all the time under some very stressful and horrific conditions. This House bill is a simple way of saying thank you, and we care about you, your mental health, and your family. Thank you for proposing this resolution. The second is from William Adello, president of the FOP Store Lodge Number 20. The FOP Lodge Number 20, representing the men and women of the City of Bethlehem Police Department, humbly requests your support for Pennsylvania General Assembly House Bill 432, amending the Workers' Comp Act by providing for compensation for post-traumatic stress injury for first responders. Our officers experience repeated traumatic events while performing their duties and protecting our great city. Physical injuries can be observed and treated, but issues resulting from traumatic events go undiagnosed. As we continually try to improve our service to the community, it is imperative we recognize the impact this service has on first responders. FOP Star Lodge Number 20 would like to thank the members of council for their continued support. And finally, we have a memo from Bernie Smirchko, who is the secretary of the Bethlehem Firefighters Union Local 735. Dear Bethlehem City Council, with May being so important to the awareness of mental health throughout our nation, we adamantly entrust that this bill will help those who dedicate their lives to helping others. On behalf of Bethlehem Firefighters Local 735, we fully support Council's resolution supporting House Bill 432, amending the Workers' Comp Act by providing for compensation for post-traumatic stress injury for first responders. As indicated, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I think it's very timely that we propose this amendment. Research has shown that the rate of post-traumatic stress injury among first responders may be between 15% and 30%. Thus, this amendment is imperative to protecting our first responders. Covering the City of Bethlehem first responders for PTSD under the Pennsylvania Workers' Comp Compensation Act will help prevent first responder suicide and other adverse health outcomes. Moreover, providing our first responders with coverage for PTSI makes good financial sense for the city. I would ask members of council to please consider the attached resolution at this meeting, and I note and give thanks to our own state rep, Jeannie McNeil, who is a co-sponsor of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey Smith. Any other comments from members of council? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business. We need to reschedule the first meeting of council in June from Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020, due to the primary election. We'll be moving it to Wednesday, June 3rd. I will ask for a motion and a second to reschedule Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020 City Council meeting to Wednesday, June 3rd, due to the primary election.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Callahan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cologne. The clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The Tuesday, June 2nd City Council meeting has been rescheduled to Wednesday, June 3rd, 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Due to the COVID-19 emergency, public access to Town Hall may be restricted on that date. The meeting will continue to be live streamed on YouTube. Instructions for making public comment by phone will be posted on the city website. This is our plan to keep continuing these remote meetings indefinitely at this point until we have a better indication of what this virus will roll out. It it's our decision, at least in the city council clerk office, to have our rotunda closed to the public for as long as City Hall is closed. So barring that, if there's a move from the administration to reopen City Hall, that might be the time that we reopen the rotunda. But our YouTube stream will always be going, as that's the new norm. And we will still be allowing for comments, both in person when that time comes that we reopen, if folks aren't feeling comfortable to do that, we'll still allow for comments to be called in a time frame that is still up in the air. We really don't have an idea of when this new meeting schedule will change, but this is our new normal for the next few weeks and months at least. Mr. Reynolds, you have an announcement?
There will be a finance committee meeting prior to the next city council meeting. So we'll be having a finance committee meeting at 6 p.m. On Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. The agenda item is proposed amendment to Article 121.12a. And as has been previously stated, due to the COVID-19 emergency, public access to town hall may be restricted on the meeting date. The meeting will be live streamed on YouTube on the City of Bethlehem Council YouTube channel. Instructions for making public comments by phone will be posted on the city website prior to the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. And do you intend to chair that meeting remotely?
I had not thought about it yet.
Okay.
But I guess I would probably talk to the city clerk about that.
Understood. Okay, thank you. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to, if you could let Robert know and check with Dr. Van Wert and also Councilwoman Negron, I'd like to get the Human Resources and Environment Committee's scheduled so we can discuss the wage equality ordinance that I had proposed. I think with the amount of unemployment that is sweeping the nation right now, especially the Bethlehem area, I think there's going to be thousands of people that are going to be interviewing probably in the next 4 to 5 months that are going to be looking for new jobs. And I think it's vital that we protect women and minority women in the city of Bethlehem and get this on the books. I would ask if any committee members have any more amendments you'd like to propose to it. I know we had some discussion about it last time. As I said, I had proposed it, and I'm good with the ordinance as it is, and I'm asking you if you have any changes to please forward them to myself or Mr. Bredoni. So thank you.
Ms. Negron?
Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I just want to mention that in that meeting, part of the discussion was Mr. Sperg was going to do some research to bring some new information. And my support or not was related directly with that piece of it. And I believe Councilwoman Dr. Van Wert also had some ideas of possible changes. So I'm hoping that if we're going to get a date, it's going to be with productive information so we can move forward or not. Thank you.
Ms. Cramsey Smith had indicated she'd like to make a comment, and then Mr. Callahan.
Oh,
thank you.
Maya, just an FYI, I just wanted to just put it out there that when Mr. Antonelli called, I have experience with the leash law, and that's why I was going to speak to him, because there is a state law on the books, a leash law, where dogs must be on a leash when they're not in their own surroundings. The city has an ordinance, but there is no specifics relative to the length of the leash, so that's just for everyone's knowledge and something that maybe we want to look at in the future. And I will reach out to Mr. Antonelli and speak to this issue.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey Smith. Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Spurk, did you know what you have to look into? I just want to make sure we don't have any miscommunication on this.
No, I'm good. I remember the issues, and I'll be reporting back on that.
All right. Thank you so much. And if any committee members or anybody from council has any ideas, as I said, I had proposed this ordinance. I'd like to get it on the books and I'm good with it as is, and I would prefer some at the committee meeting next week, a committee meeting, that we either have some new amendments to it, or whatever changes anybody would like, or an up or down vote. And I think it's so important that we protect the women of Bethel again, that I think we need to get this on the books for the rehiring season that I hope is going to be coming in the next 3 to 4 months. Thank you.
I'll contact you, Mr. Callahan, and we'll get some dates together and we'll distribute them.
Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
I had one question for, or two questions for Mr. Evans that I meant to ask before that I did not. I was just reaching out with the governor announcing the end to the moratorium on real estate work today. Did that mean that we're going to bring back the furloughed employees that we have in the inspections office? Because I think that they were connected to that moratorium.
Yes, there were six that were furloughed. Four were inspectors that deal directly with real estate. And as we talked at the time, there is a pent-up demand for transactions already in place, and we've been getting calls. When can we send them out? So we were bringing them back as soon as we get everything back in place. So it'll be the next coming days that they'll be back in place and right out in the field conducting inspections. That's correct.
Thank you. And are we foreseeing, and I know things are changing quickly here, but are we foreseeing any additional furloughs going forward for any city employees in any departments, or do we think we're basically going to kind of keep it where it is?
We're
bringing those people back.
Yeah, we're at the point now where we're looking at shuffling, obviously not hiring. We had the hiring freeze, which is... has left public works short in some areas, and right now we're looking to patchwork without the ability or with the ability to use any summer help as support. That's not going to happen. And there are shortages. How do those essential, I'm using the term essential services that the government would use, but how do those regular routine services that the public works especially provides, and that is, the cutting the grass, things that I know when I was, and I'm sure you too, as a council member, got probably maybe the most of the calls or emails about is the condition of the property, both public property as well as surrounding area support. So at this time, we're trying to make a go with what we have, not going any deeper at this time to provide continuity. Once you cut more off the bone than we do, you're going to see some real services stop. Some of the things we talked about, do we... discontinue street sweeping? Do we stop paving for the entire summer, fall, a year behind? So those conversations continue to happen, but in most areas, we're kind of moving some people around to cover the functions and responsibilities that need to continue.
Thank you.
But it's an ongoing conversation. Yeah, we're not done, and we have not begun because to know on the backside of this again what 2021 will look like until we see. Once we go to yellow and to green, what's the response, or what do we see on the backside?
Any other new business for members of council? This meeting is adjourned.